I'm going to start a little bit over. Words are very tricky. Words can often coincide with an instant reaction and we say, oh, I got that. But we don't got it. We don't have it. We are miles from it. I remember all the years that I was just floored when Christians would tell me that the Trinity is in the Bible. The word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. But they would insist, oh yes it is. So words need attention. And in the beginning was the Word. And so today we focus on a word, one that we heard last week for the first time in our story. And that word is Messiah. As we look at the word Messiah, we have Jesus declaring to Peter at the very end of last week's reading, when Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, you are blessed, blessed, and blessed again. Good answer. You got the right answer. And today we learn for the wrong reason. Peter had no idea. He had no idea what he was saying. And so we know something of the plot for this week's gospel. We know that it will have to do with the Messiah declaration that Jesus gave to Peter. And we know we're picking up where we left off, where Jesus said, yes, Peter, you are the rock. You are the rock, not any old rock, but the rock on which I will build my church. Peter, the rock. But Jesus also said, but, and it's always in the but, isn't it? But, Peter, you have no clue what you're talking about. You have no idea. In fact, you never came up with it. In fact, it wasn't your answer at all. Jesus mysteriously says, someone else gave you that answer. That answer was revealed to you, Peter. So it's like a win, but not really for Peter. And so today we continue the story. A story for us by now that is the old, old story. I believe God is calling us to rehear this old, old story about Peter, that rock. Blessed are you, Peter, only today to be cursed. The rock that was Peter today is crushed. In that crushing, we will discover the molding of a true disciple. Jeremiah was truly committed, but he was a teenager, and when God called him, he said, I'm way too young, forget about it. That was Jeremiah. His answer was no. God insisted. And then Jeremiah's life went downhill. He was persecuted. He was imprisoned. He was mocked. He was isolated. Today he says, I am all alone, Lord. What is going on? Jeremiah was being molded like Peter is today. Jeremiah was even told the rest of the world gets married, has kids. Guess what, Jeremiah? No kids for you. Sorry. No wife. Sorry. Jeremiah and Peter are paired today for a very good reason. When we see Peter as the key. We have to remember that Peter can help us to dig deeper into the understanding of Messiah, which he clearly did not understand. Peter went on to be a martyr and an apostle. Much like Jeremiah, he suffered greatly. As we revisit Peter, let's remember he's not a saint. He's not an icon. He is a friend who loved Jesus even when terrible things were going on. He stood by Jesus. He tried to reach out his hand to Jesus the same way when he stepped on the water to walk and to prove his devotion, and he sank. This is the same Peter. Jesus stretched out his hand, and Peter remained confused and frustrated. Peter worked very hard for Jesus. He didn't hold back. He said what he thought. When Jesus degraded and crushed the Canaanite pagan woman and said, "You don't deserve the food from the master's table." And then Jesus, at the end, flip-flopped the whole thing because the woman did not give up. Her daughter needed help, and she didn't care if anybody spoke poorly about her. That was a message for Peter and for us. Peter was one of the ones that said, "Lord, good heavens, get rid of her now. Before she's yelling, she's screaming, she's obnoxious, she's a pagan. Just get rid of her." Peter was doing his very best. But then Jesus ends up saying, "Woman, your faith is greater than any I have seen. Woman of great faith." Jesus is going to take the original call, "Follow me," for those who fished in the water. And he is going to say, "Follow me still. You, the rock, follow me still." So immediately today we begin with Peter believing he has accomplished his mission. This is not just an opinion, it is his mission. It is his mission to support, befriend, comfort Jesus, who is obviously becoming irritated and having deep problems that Peter sensed. Peter, now blessed, and the rock, was emboldened to do the right thing. Peter, oh that we would have such boldness. Oh that we would take such risk, even if we end up being wrong. Isn't it better that Peter gave his all and then the rock was crushed? All of this crushing has to do with the word Messiah, so we need to back up a little. The Messiah belief in the first century among Jews was not a decided thing. You could have three or four options. Option A, the Messiah was believed to be a deeply spiritual person. Option B, He would live out in the desert like John the Baptist, and he would live as a monk. Option C, he would be a zealot and he would defend the Jews against the Romans. He would raise up his spear and God would lead him. Sounds like Joshua. Sounds like King David. Yes. The Messiah is the king, the descendant of David. So honestly, we cannot criticize Peter for believing that he knows about the Messiah. Come, thou long expected Jesus. That same waiting for the Messiah was at the heart of the Jewish people. But it all rests on a new interpretation. The precious Messiah, the deliverer, the bringer of the kingdom will be dead, murdered, executed. You may have many options of Messiah and find their roots in Scripture. One thing I promise you, you will never find is a dead one. Dead Messiahs are not an option. Well, the weight is on Peter's side. We're told Jesus then began talking about what the next steps were after he claimed for the first time the Messiah title. The next steps are quite a different picture. The next steps are turning toward Jerusalem, not for victory, not for an answer. If you were thinking that and you were Peter, you would have a strong argument. If you turn your face to Jerusalem and you have claimed to be the Messiah, you will conquer. There will be victory. Don't turn your face to Jerusalem. March toward Jerusalem in the power of Almighty God. Give yourself up, get arrested, and killed. That the story should not go that way. It is true that Matthew says that Jesus will say at the end, oh, by the way, in 3 days I'll come back. Right over Peter's head and yours and mine. People don't rise from the dead. What does he mean, I'll come back? Well, it sounds nice, but no inkling of what resurrection will be. That is never an issue. Can we criticize Peter for not understanding or really hearing? No, he had selective hearing. In 3 days, 3 days later, okay, I will rise. Peter has heard enough. He has had enough. He is horrified. He is, after all, the rock. On him, the church will stand, so he better act. He must act. And out of love, out of kindness, he does not act in public. He is not interested in humiliating Jesus. What does he do? He says, Lord, come on with me. Let's take a walk. We will talk in private. We're told that Peter takes Jesus aside. And then we're told, and he begins to rebuke Jesus. He says, no way, Lord, absolutely no way. And the absolutely is seen in the words, God forbid. Peter is calling on God to reinforce his message to Jesus. No way. You must not talk like that. God forbid. And in that language is included, shame on you, Jesus. Shame on you. You of the miracle. You of the exorcisms. You of the feeding of people. You of helping the most needy. Shame on you. You must never give in to these thoughts. You must never do that. Peter is acting out of love. Which one of us would do any less for someone that we loved and firmly believed was on the wrong path? There's a reason Peter is deeply loved as a saint. Peter, and Jesus knew this, he said to Peter, you are now talking like a human being, Peter. That's Peter's crime. You're talking like a human being, not knowing divine things. You're stuck on human things. Where are the divine things? Well, we have to talk back to this passage. We have to really say, no, we're with Peter. Peter is going to fight. He is human. He stepped out of the boat onto the water. Okay. That was a brave effort, but then he sunk. Peter is not being punished in this story. Jesus' verdict is loving. You are too human, Peter. Said truthfully and with love. You are human. Peter then is trying to be reasonable. He's trying to do the best that he can. Peter's humanity is our path. We do our best. Our very best. We commit ourselves, but we miss things. We are not attuned to divine things. We are human beings. At the Last Supper, Peter will miss again when he says, do not wash my feet. I forbid it. At Gethsemane, he will take out a sword and use violence and cut off someone's ear. Jesus has to say, hold everything. And Jesus heals the ear that Peter cut off. Peter will go on learning. And then he will go on proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, as the Son of Man, who will arrive in God's glory. Creation will be restored. The one who dwelt among us, Jesus, will complete his promise to be the way, the truth, and the life. He will create a new heavens and a new earth. And from where we stand, we pray, may your kingdom come. And we even sing, and he shall reign forever and ever. Alleluia. Alleluia. the Messiah shall reign forever. So what do now? Well, we take a brief look at Romans, and we read again Romans, Paul's charge to the Romans about our mission. Let your love be genuine and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another. Have a contest. Outdo. Struggle. Outdo one another in what? Showing honor to others. Respecting others. Do not lag in zeal. Be strong in spirit. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Be patient in prayer. And don't forget to take care of the saints. And at the end of today's passage in Romans, take care of the saints. But don't forget the non-saints. Take care of them too. They're the ones who are the strangers to you. You haven't lived with them very often. You don't know maybe a lot about them, their culture, even their belief system might be foggy to you, but none of that is an excuse. Welcome the strangers in your midst. And so we are facing a time of waiting for the Messiah, for the completion. But there is so much work to be done. So much work. May God bless our labors for the kingdom and its coming. May we always be ready to be surprised and to learn, even when our most precious words appear to be challenged by the word of God. Amen.